A lecture given by His Holiness Devamrita Swami on Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, 1st Chapter, Text 24, recorded on the 5th of August 2014 in Melbourne, Australia.
Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 1, Questions by Vidura, Text 24. Tatastva tiv rajasarastram ridam sovirdamatsyan kuru jangalamscha kalena tavad yamunam upecha tatrodbhavam bhagavatam dadarsha. Translation. Thereafter, he passed through very wealthy provinces like Surat, Sovira, and Matsya, and through western India, known as Kuru Jangala. At last, he reached the bank of the Yamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. Purport. The tract of land comprising about 100 square miles from modern Delhi to the Mathura district in Uttar Pradesh, including a portion of the Gurgaon district in Punjab, East India, is considered to be the topmost place of pilgrimage in all of India. This land is sacred because Lord Krishna traveled through it many times. From the very beginning of his appearance, he was at Mathura in the house of his maternal uncle, Kamsa, and he was reared by his foster father, Maharaj Nanda, at Vrindavan. There are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. Philosophically, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane, and that the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. Such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment, as confirmed in the Brahma Sanghita. Premanjana charita bhakti vilochanena santasa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yam shama sundaram ajinja guna swarupam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. Those who are in ecstasy of love with the Supreme Personality Guided, Lord Shamsundar, Krishna, see him always in their hearts due to love and devotional service rendered to the Lord. Both Vidura and Uddhava were such elevated devotees, and therefore they both came to the bank of the Yamuna and met each other. Om Gana Chimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. We are finding out that in the bottommost portion of material life and the topmost portion of spiritual life, separation is the predominant factor. What is the bottom part of material existence? Kali Yuga. The time in which human beings think that they're so technologically advanced. Meanwhile, their inner qualities are abominable. in Kali Yuga, a prominent system, a prominent symptom occurs. Separation from those who are dear to you. You see that happening increasingly. People are separated because of education reasons, job reasons. So many factors are preventing friends and family members from staying together. And it's very frustrating. Because, materially speaking, people long for sustainable, lasting relationships. But the pressures of Kali Yuga drive people apart. People can't sustain lasting relationships. And therefore they're so psychologically imbalanced and disturbed. They don't have the basics of human civilization. The basics of human civilization are social stability, family normality. Even in India, as you know, the family normality is disappearing as people become more advanced. So that is the bottom of material existence, Kali Yuga. And what about the top of spiritual existence? That is Goloka Vrindavan. And also when Krishna comes to the material world to display his intimate pastimes. In that portion of the spiritual world, the top, separation from Krishna, is the pinnacle of spiritual experience. So that is what Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport. He's talking about love of Krishna in separation. This is not a Vaikuntha experience. This is an experience strictly going on in Goloka Vrindavan. This is the experience that Lord Chaitanya demonstrated, especially during his years in Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri is the special chaitra, or holy tirtha, for separation from Krishna. That's the inner secret of Jagannath Puri. When Lord Chaitanya would gaze upon Lord Jagannath, he was gazing upon Lord Jagannath in the mood of Krishna's most intimate devotees. The cowherd girls of Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya would see Lord Jagannath as Krishna, the beloved of the gopis of Vrindavan. And sometimes Lord Chaitanya, while walking through Puri, would see a garden and would immediately mistake it for Vrindavan. He would see a sand dune while he's walking on the beach, Chataka Parvat, and mistake it for Govardhan Hill. This is perfection, to make such mistakes. We have a material conception of perfection, that it means to do everything materially right. But the full conception of perfection is to be blinded by love for Krishna. Just like in Goloka Vrindavan. Sometimes Krishna is so overwhelmed by attraction for his dearest devotees that he starts milking a bull instead of a cow. So you say, what is this? Bhagavan is making a mistake? This does not fit within our conception of what is the supreme absolute truth. Just think about that. Or, you know, the other time in
the Kurukshetra days preceding the war. Krishna was invited to visit Vidura. Not Vidura. He was invited. He had some family affairs, and therefore he went to the place where Duryodhana lived. And Vidura lived in the same city. Duryodhana, we explained before, was famous for his posh, sumptuous lunches that he would throw. It was a prestige thing. Kshatriya princes. Just like in India, who can throw the biggest wedding party, right? How many preparations were served at your wedding? I've heard that most of the food at the weddings is not consumed, but that's not the point, right? The point is to have hundreds of preparations so to increase your prestige. So Duryodhana was like that, and he invited Krishna for lunch. Not out of any affection, certainly no affection, but it was the political thing to do because of some marital relationship going on. In some way, Krishna was related to Duryodhana's family by marriage. So Duryodhana, being the consummate politician, said, "Please come to lunch." But Krishna didn't go. Instead, unexpectedly, Krishna shows up at Vidura's house. Vidura is not actually a member of the royalty. So therefore, he certainly didn't have the wealth and opulence that Duryodhana had. But still, Krishna showed up at his house, uninvited, no formal invitation. But you see, when there is the love of the devotee, that is the everything. So Vidura's wife, I have explained before, she was trying to prepare something to offer to Krishna. And in the ecstasy of her husband and her, they were offering Krishna the banana skins and throwing away the banana pulp. But Krishna was eating it. Mistake. Oh, come on. He's eating banana peels. He doesn't understand that this is not the real thing. What do you make of that? Krishna's controlled by love. That is the governing factor, not material conceptions of perfection. This is a mistake. Yes, it's a mistake to eat banana peels instead of the banana pulp. But everything belongs to Krishna. Everything is his energy. It was no mistake for Krishna to be so affected by the love of his devotee. That is the real principle of perfection. So then, Duryodhana found out. Krishna, you went to Vidura, this poor man's house, not really a member of the royalty. You went and had lunch there, and here at my palace, we have such a banquet. We're all famous for opulence in all the different preparations that are there. Why? What happened, Krishna? And Krishna told him, there are two things required if you're going to eat. Number one, you have to be hungry. Or number two, there has to be love. I wasn't hungry, and you don't give me any love. So I didn't come. So what do you consider perfection? Your material conception of perfection leads you to believe that meeting would be the highest, coming together. When Krishna and his associates meet, your material conception of perfection would lead you to believe that that is the peak spiritual experience, seeing Krishna, being with Krishna. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling you no. The six Goswamis are telling you no. The topmost spiritual experience is feeling separation from Krishna. Because then the love is more intense. This is the great mystery of Vrindavan. How, by feeling separation from Krishna, you actually have Krishna's association more than by meeting him. So you're trying to figure that out. As Prabhupada writes in the purport, there are still many devotees of the Lord lingering there in Vrindavan, in ecstasy in search of Krishna and his childhood associates, the gopis. It is not that such devotees meet Krishna face to face in that tract of land, but a devotee's eagerly searching after Krishna is as good as his seeing him personally. How this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are pure devotees of the Lord. It doesn't make sense on the material platform. I often point out that none of you would say to your dearest associate, I want to give you the best, therefore I'm leaving you. But that is the mystery of Vrindavan. Krishna gave the residents of Vrindavan the best by leaving them. And in this way, the Brijbasis were overwhelmed with feelings of separation. That's why Lord Chaitanya himself said, if you see tears in my eyes while chanting Hare Krishna, you should know you're simply seeing a show, theater. Because, here's the proof, if I actually loved Krishna, I would have died long ago from the separation. The fact that I'm living shows I don't really have love for Krishna. Because separation from Krishna, for one who loves Krishna, that separation is so intense, you practically give up your life. Just like Krishna's dearmost companion in Vrindavan. She says, I cannot live, I cannot sustain my life. Krishna, you're guilty of killing women. I should just die. Let the events take their course and I'll die. It's all Krishna's fault. But if I die, that'll make Krishna unhappy. I don't want to make Krishna unhappy. Maybe I shouldn't die then, even though I feel like I'm dying. So this is life at the topmost level in Vrindavan. It cannot be understood through material intelligence. It cannot be understood through academic study. It can only be understood through realization. So what we are discussing today is the deepest aspiration, the goal that's beckoning to us at the pinnacle of spiritual development. We should know about the goal. At the same time, we should know what our own position is so that we can honestly strive for that goal. Lord Chaitanya was walking on the beach in Jagannath Puri, and he saw a sand dune. And as he saw the sand dune, the Chatakaparvat, he recited a verse that you'll find in Bhagavatam that the gopis recited as they watched Krishna and Balaram enter the forest of Vrindavan. The gopis glorified Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Hill is the best servant of Krishna, Haridas Bharya. Listen to all the ways Govardhan assists Krishna.
As Lord Chaitanya recited that verse, he was not any longer looking at a sand dune. He was looking at Govardhan Hill. Now, is that a mistake? Is he hallucinating? In other words, what is the ultimate reality? Is the ultimate reality a perfect GPS positioning? No, the perfect reality is not any conception of material navigation. The perfect reality is pure love of Krishna. That is for real. It's not an imposition. That is the ultimate reality. Lord Chaitanya's being blinded by praying is real. It's the real world. In order to understand that, though, you have to drop your material conceptions of perfection. So he was seeing Govardhan Hill, and he started running at the speed of wind toward the sand dune that he was seeing as Govardhan Hill. The devotees couldn't keep up with him. A great cry went out as the devotees saw Lord Chaitanya running towards the hill. They couldn't catch him. And as he approached the hill, suddenly he froze. He was stunned in ecstasy, tottering and collapsed on the ground, overrun by all eight ecstatic symptoms, ashtasattvika. When the devotees finally reached him, seeing his transcendental state of ecstasy, his body affected in so many ways, the devotees began to cry. They fanned him with their cloth. They poured cold water over him. They chanted the Hare Krishna mantra loudly in his ear. Finally, suddenly, Lord Chaitanya stood up, looking for something, for someone. He was in partial consciousness. See, Mahaprabhu is actually always in the deepest ecstasy of Krishna praying. But that state of being in the deepest ecstasy has three divisions: external consciousness, internal consciousness, and partial external, partial internal. So Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya was in partial external consciousness as he was looking. And he began to speak. I was at the base of Govardhan Hill, and I was waiting for Krishna and Balaram and the cows to come and climb Govardhan Hill. Krishna, I saw him. He was playing his flute, and as soon as the sound of his flute pervaded everywhere, Srimati Radharani and the gopis would appear. Then I saw Krishna and his dearmost consort enter a cave at Govardhan Hill, and the gopis instructed me to pick some flowers for the divine couple. As I was doing that, all of a sudden I heard this loud noise, and this vision disappeared. Where am I? What's going on? What happened? And then he began to cry. I had a chance to see Krishna's pastimes, and I lost it. All the devotees began to cry also. This is the pinnacle of love of Krishna and separation. In which, as we said, the experience of meeting Krishna is not as ecstatic as separation from Krishna. And in that separation, you actually see Krishna. This is why, without spiritual realization, you would think that Prabhupada is making double talk in this purport. Philosophically, he writes, one can understand that Lord Krishna and his remembrance are on the absolute plane. And at the very idea of searching for him at Vrindavan in pure God consciousness gives more pleasure to the devotee than seeing him face to face. Okay, then the next sentence, such devotees of the Lord see him face to face at every moment. Some contradiction, yes? Either you see him face to face or you don't. That's how you would approach this purport with material intelligence. But after years, decades of devotional service and chanting Hare Krishna and developing bhakti, humility, and purification, you understand that these purports are imparting to you experiences that are not subject to logic and analysis. That's why Prabhupada wrote, how this is so cannot be explained, but it is factually realized by those who are qualified. So this information humbles us. This information shows us that we actually don't know what is love. The thing that we're hungry for the most, we know the least about. Life in the material world means arrogance. I often point this out. The arrogance that I know what is love. Everyone needs love. I know what it is. I want love. I'm not getting enough love. Who's loving me? Who is not loving me? But bhakti humility means to begin to think, I don't know what is love. I've forgotten my original relationship with Krishna. I have no idea what is real love. And therefore in material life, I'm struggling and being whipped by the material separation so predominant in Kali Yuga. Remember, that's a prominent characteristic of Kali Yuga. Separation from those who are most dear to you. You'll notice in this day and age, people can't seem to stay together. Even if, for example, their marriage stays intact, the husband and wife are in two different places. Or even if they're in the same place, they never see each other because the husband's working 12 hours a day. That still counts as separation. You might say, oh, we're in the same house, therefore we're not influenced by Kali Yuga. But how many hours are you working? Let us think how much this principle of material separation is affecting us. And it causes traumas, it causes issues, emotional issues, it causes damage. Because we're fearing, I'll lose what is dear to me. And indeed, in Kali Yuga, you'll always lose what is dear to you. It can't stay. This is why Krishna establishes as the preliminary level of self-realization the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Nasochati nakanshati, no hankering, no lamenting. But then on the perfect spiritual platform, it seems like hankering and lamenting is going on all the time. But that hankering and lamenting that goes on in Goloka Vrindavan is a pure and perfect spiritual experience. So in this way, we can see that what is the bottom of material existence is the top in spiritual existence. Uddhava and Vidura are meeting on the bank of the Jamuna, and they're going to discuss Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities. And that discussion will be so intense that just upon speaking in this way, Uddhava will actually not be in the material world.
his consciousness will be in the topmost portion of the spiritual world. This is the power of talking about Krishna. This is why we are so dedicated to giving people a chance to hear about Krishna. It's not sectarian. We are giving the access to the topmost portion of the spiritual world in such a way that even a beginner can begin to feel association with Krishna by the mercy of devotees. Remember in Chaitanya Charitamrita how it is explained what is the most painful existence in this world. The most painful existence in this world is to not have the association of devotees. Lord Chaitanya demonstrated love of Krishna in separation. His immediate followers, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, demonstrated love of Krishna in separation. The secret is that one doesn't demand to see Krishna. One is greedy for service to Krishna. Krishna, I remember once Srila Prabhupada explained like this, Krishna, it would be so wonderful to see you, but who am I to impose upon you in that way? I would certainly like to see you, but let me simply engage in your service.